All right. Well, welcome to number 11. I can't believe the time is just going so fast. We are in number 11 out of this 12-week series called The Four Agreements, a biblical perspective to discovering the secret to transformation. And I know for those of you who have been along for the journey, this has been truly a secret to transformation, to just begin applying these principles and the amount of freedom that can come from just eliminating the stuff that is just draining our energy and causing communication breakdowns. And truly, and we're going to talk about it today, the verse, the truth, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. So today, as we begin the series, I just invite you, Holy Spirit, you are the one who guides us into all truth. You are our teacher. You are our comforter. You are our helper. You are our advocate. You are our standby. And we just thank you that you live in us and through us. And we just ask that you guide this study, open all of our spiritual senses that we may hear clearly, receive, feel clearly, think clearly. Father, I just ask that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart are pleasing in your sight. Just ask that this be an anointed study that guides us into truth, gives us breakthrough, and allows us truly to bring your kingdom here on earth, to touch a hurting people, to just let the power of love prevail. We just thank you. This is the day you've made. We rejoice in it. We thank you for this study. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have been really talking about Romans 12, this whole idea of transformation, using the four agreements as a way of being transformed. Transformation, of course, occurring by the renewal of our mind, the renewing, the making new of our mind. And it's really about thinking about our thinking. As we do that, we can begin to sort through and break through a lot of the illusions, the lies that we've told ourselves, that we've told others, the crazy thinking that has really gotten our togas in a knot and wasted a whole lot of energy. So when I discovered this book, The Four Agreements, it was very life-changing for me. I've read it and listened to it just a number of times, and I just knew I wanted to do it as a Bible study and just spend some time just lingering. Of course, we teach that which we most need to know, so that's why I love teaching this, because, you know, for 12 weeks, it's got me totally thinking about it, plus the preparation time, and so it's just, they're such simple but life-changing principles. And so, of course, we've gone through the four agreements. On the fourth one, we've been landing. The first agreement, of course, being impeccable with our word. And I think it's made us more conscious. I know a number of you have said that's really been a big thing you've gotten from the study, is being more conscious of your words, that we can't just be just saying any old thing and letting just any old thing come out of our mouth. But understanding that our word, we're made in the image of God, and as co-creators designing our life here, one of the ways that our life is designed is by the words that we speak to ourselves in our thoughts, and putting it out there in the universe, and knowing that our words have power to create, and that through our words, that's how we manifest. And so becoming much more deliberate about our words and their power, and understanding as we begin to understand, and finally, I think there's a merging that's going on right now, and of course, the science of neurotheology, there's this merging of understanding how our thoughts and our words and our belief systems and theology and science, we're starting to understand they are not two different worlds and universes, but they are one and the same. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at this book that sits on my desk because it's just so pretty and sparkly and everything, called Angel Words by Doreen Virtue. But what this does is it really brings this concept, you know, into a visual form. It shows the sound graphs of all the different words. And it shows that when we use high frequency words, that it shows on the graph. They call it angel words because it looks like angel wings. They're very big and spread out. You make a statement like life is good, and it's just giant and spread out, as opposed to you know, just things that are low frequency, that are, you know, doubt and negative and so on. And it's just amazing. You say the word fear, and it's this little tiny frequency. And you say, you know, these big words like love, and they're just huge and spread out. And so every word has a frequency. And as thus, it's setting up a vibration in your own body, which has results in your health, in your world that you live in. And so understanding that it has a vibration, understanding that there's a vocabulary that allows you to have dominion over your world. And you know, the scripture, Proverbs 18:21, that says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it eat the fruit of it. And so understanding that we're speaking life over ourselves, over our body, over our finances. What do you do when you pay a bill? Do you speak life? Do you give thanks? Do you have gratitude when you pay it? Or do you speak fear and doubt and think fear and doubt? What do you do, you know, for your body? When you look in the mirror, do you speak life over yourself each day when you look in the mirror? What do you do when you speak to your children, your loved ones? Do you speak life? And so just understanding that these words are so powerful, and being impeccable with our words, that is the first agreement. And the second agreement, of course, is not taking things personally. Do not take anything personally. And this is really tied in with the biblical concept of taking offense. And it's so huge. It's so easy to read into something that someone said, or read into something that someone did, or read into something that someone, you know, the way that they even looked at you, for Pete's sake, and take offense and think it's about you. And once that offense kicks in, it moves us into this whole cascade of defending our beliefs and needing to be right and justifying what it is that we believe, and just developing this movie in our head. And so this taking things personally just creates all kinds of emotional energy leaks and drains and trauma and drama and just all of that stuff. And that's tied in with number three that we went through, of don't make assumptions. In order to take this offense, you have to make an assumption that, you know, what they said is about you, that what you're believing is truth. And based on these assumptions, you just create again this whole trauma and drama, and you believe that you're right, and you begin defending this, and you make someone else wrong. And this creates division in yourself, in your relationships, in your churches, in your communities, in our world. It's all based, these assumptions create chaos in business, because we just don't stop and ask questions, which, of course, the remedy for assumptions is asking the person to clarify that you even understood, and that that's really what they were thinking. And if you can get the courage to start asking, you'll find out. And it's okay to couch it and say, you know what, I'm just learning about not making assumptions, and I feel that perhaps, you know, I sense that, or it seems to me that you're thinking this, or you said this, is it, you know, am I accurate? And you're going to find over 90% of the time they're going to go, no, I wasn't even thinking, it didn't even cross my mind. It's not even their movie. It's our projection onto them. And so Ask. This is the remedy. Ask the person. And secondly, ask the Holy Spirit Because the Holy Spirit will give, you know, insights. And this is why James 1 says anyone is deficient in wisdom. Let him ask. And this is the role of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, which I'm going to be talking about today. And the fourth agreement, always do your best. And this is really the application of the first three. Always do your best. And again, this is a biblical principle, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And this has to do your best has to do with being present. You can't do your best if you're not present. Jim Rohn, I remember hearing Jim Rohn 25, 30 years ago. And he says, you know, when you're working, don't be thinking about playing. When you're playing, don't be thinking about working. You know, we're at work and we're just wanting the vacation and all we can think about is when we're going to have our vacation and retire and we're just not fully present in our work. And when we're playing, we're thinking about how all the things aren't getting done at work. And so we're never just fully in the now. And I wrote that in my Facebook a few days ago, Facebook post about how because we're never in the now, it's like we never live. We never truly live. And so always do your best does involve being in the present. And when you're in the present, it involves giving your all and being focused and being there. And we talked under always do your best the difference of action and resisting. So many people are just stuck. They're in analysis paralysis. And so they're resisting life. They're resisting. They're not taking action. And this not taking action and resisting and just deciding instead to just sit in front of a TV, you know, or whatever as a way of not dealing with it causes fatigue. When you look up, for example, in Feelings Buried Alive or Louise Hay, Heal Yourself or anything, and you look at what is the root cause of fatigue, they will both tell you that it's resisting life. It's feeling bored. It's not enjoying your place in life, not stepping into your place in life. And so we've got this kind of double-minded situation of not being present, of not fully investing, of not fully going for it, of not taking action. And this inaction is, we talked about last week, a way that we actually deny life. Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote the book, says, action is about living fully. Inaction is the way that we deny life. He says, inaction is sitting in front of the television every day for years because you're afraid to be alive and take the risk of expressing what you are. Expressing what you are is taking action, he says. He says, you can have many great ideas in your head, but what makes the difference is action. Without action upon an idea, there will be no manifestation, no results, no reward. I know I've sat and listened to James Malachek and he talks about, you know, all of the people who really want to write a book, desire to write a book, but how few ever do it. They just keep talking about writing a book. And he just finally got in there and wrote his book and he shows it to the audience and the title was ridiculous and the cover was lousy, I guess, I don't know, whatever the word, and people make fun of his cover, and he talks about my ugly book is better than the book you've never written, and he's making a point, you know, and it's the point I've heard that, you know, you'll do things many times poorly before you ever master it and achieve mastery, and so do not let this kind of perfectionism keep you from living your life, waiting for all the circumstances to be perfect, to step out and truly live, waiting until you've just mastered things and you have it just right. That's another form of inaction and double-mindedness and never stepping into our life and wasting a lot of time. And, you know, he goes on to say about living in the present. He says, God is life. God is life and action. And the best way to say, I love you, God. You know, many people just talk about how much they love God. And he says in this quote, the best way to say, I love you, God, is to live your life doing your best. He says, the best way to say, thank you, God, is by letting go of the past and living in the present moment, right here and right now. He says, whatever life takes away from you, just let it go. When you surrender, you let go of the past, you allow yourself to be fully alive in the moment. Letting go of the past means you can enjoy the dream that's happening right now. If you live in a past dream, you do not enjoy what is happening right now because you're always wishing it to be different than it is. There is no time to miss anyone or anything because you are alive. Not enjoying what is happening right now is living in the past and being only half alive. This leads to self-pity, suffering, and tears. And of course, Jesus in Matthew 6 tried to make this point. He said, don't worry and be anxious about tomorrow. He's talking about borrowing from the future. Not only don't live in the past, but stop borrowing from the future. He says, don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow has worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Stay in the present. Stay in today. And James, Jesus' brother, repeats that in James chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, come on now, those of you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go and we'll do this and we'll spend a year here and we'll go do this and we'll make this money. He says, you don't know the least thing about what's going to happen tomorrow. See, tomorrow is always tomorrow. And yesterday's always gone. And so all you really have is today. And this is something we so miss. And I got this one visual, and I journaled it one day. I just got this visual of this armed bandit, you know, like the old cartoons, if you remember, you know, with the, you know, the scarf across the, you know, the nose and the double guns that they're flipping across his finger. And this, you know, this armed bandit comes up to you and says, stick them up. Do you remember those cartoons? Just stick them up. And they're not just asking for your money. The bandit says, give me all your money, but also give me all your joy. Give me all your peace. Give me all your, you know, and just give me everything. And what is that bandit? It is living in the past, because living in the past, whether you're living in nostalgia and saying, oh, those were the good old days, and you just keep on talking about the good old days, or the shame and the guilt and the regret, and if only I should have, I could have, I all of the shoulda, couldas that just take you down. And it's a bandit because now you're not enjoying today. You truly are not living. It's robbing your experience, the gift that God has given you of life. And the other bandit is just so far in the future. And there's literally countless people that have gone to the grave, and they say the grave is the wealthiest place on earth because in the grave are all the books that have never been written and all the movies that were never created and all the scientific discoveries that never happened and all the adventures and explorations and all the things that die with that person in the grave that never brought the amazing change to the world because they were always putting off life and they never stepped into today. And I shared my experience with you guys a number of times that God allowed me one time in a vision to literally experience a moment. And literally, he just said, create this moment any way you want in this vision. And it was really just pure bliss. I created that moment, and it was just amazing. And then that moment was gone, and I felt God's Spirit saying, what if your life is like this? What if you can create each moment, and in so doing this, you're designing your life? And that's really what these four agreements are about. They're about building your life by design and not by default. You're not just allowing your thoughts to think you, but you're beginning to, as scripture talks about, take every thought captive. You're beginning to choose the high frequency thoughts that produce the high frequency life. In other words, do not ever think that negative thoughts are going to produce a positive life. You cannot hold on to negative thinking and live a positive life. It does not work that way. And when I say negative, I mean low frequency, the low frequency thoughts. And so I think for many people, this is brand new to think about their thinking. I was privileged to watch over this weekend a live cast of Byron Katie, and she wrote a book called Loving What Is, and she's just, it's very powerful. It's kind of like the Four Agreements. There's some questions you can ask that can really set you free from the stupidity that keep us prisoner. And someone at the beginning of this series asked her how she got into doing, it's called The Work, what she does, it's called The Work. And how did she get into doing the work of thinking about her thinking and teaching people to think about their thinking? And she says, you know what I realized, and this was so profound, it was worth the whole seminar right here. She says, when I believed my thoughts, I suffered. But when I began to question them, I didn't suffer. In other words, when we just let our minds go uncontrollably and we just accept all of our thoughts as truth and we don't challenge them, then there's enormous suffering. And that's what this Four Agreements has been about, is that there's just enormous suffering around believing our thoughts and not doing what Paul says of disciplining them, of taking every thought captive, of tearing down the strongholds in our minds and taking every thought captive. And whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is virtuous, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, fix your mind, the Amplified Version says, fix your mind on these things. It's learning to fix our mind on those things that are high frequency, that are producing the thoughts. And so this is just so powerful. And what I want to go into today is actually what you don't know. I've been talking about the Four Agreements, but Don Luis Miguel's son actually wrote a second book, a corollary book called The Fifth Agreement. There's actually a Fifth Agreement. And we're going to cover that today. But before we do, I want to take a pause point. And those of you who have been kind of following along, share some of the growth that's happened, some of the lessons, because your experience will very much help everyone else. What are some of the lessons? Can you give any practical applications of what you've seen? Have you seen that you've had less emotional drama? Are you feeling more free? Is the truth setting you free? Are you doing things different? Share a little bit. Let's have a little pause point here. Anybody want to share?
Hi, this is Jill.
Yeah, Jill, hi.
I'll try to share. I haven't had my coffee yet.
Okay.
You know, when we live with the agreements in our mind and in our heart, it's much easier. But when we get, because I know that I get caught in day-to-day stuff and to-dos and judgment, it makes life so difficult and it's so draining and I'm exhausted. I love your words. I know that they're Don Miguel Ruiz's words, but your interpretation of them for us, because when we can listen to your words in our mind and put that into our heart, it makes our day so much easier. And we have so much more energy at the end of the day. You know, living without judgment, not taking things personally, you know, doing our best and not criticizing ourselves if our best was better on a different day. So I just thank you for that. And, you know, if all of us can try to stay in that vibration more than not, it really frees us up and gives us more energy.
Thank you. Thank you, Jill. That's what I believe is just so amazing about this, is that really 90, if not 100% of our suffering, what we call suffering, of our pain. And I'm talking what you're sharing, Jill. I mean, of being emotionally drained, of being exhausted, of tears, of anger, of fear, of all of the stuff that is not even based in truth. It's simply what's gone on in our head, the movie that we've created, the reality that we've created. And it's just so much needless suffering, and this can just eliminate so much of that. And that's why I just felt like, wow. And here's what I encourage you, all of you, is that you can download all of these studies if you go to bit, like a horse's bit, bit.ly/BBSE, that's Bible-Based Spiritual Equipping, -4A. You can go and download each of these and just be listening over and over and over. And this is one of those series that I encourage you to do that and to share, pass it on to others, because I just truly believe there's so much freedom in it. Thank you, Jill, for sharing. Anybody else? What are you gleaning from this before we move on? Hey, Frank.
I was just looking through, like, last week's notes. And yeah. The thing that I'm coming up with is trying to remember all these great things that you teach. I so look forward to this. But I like the mindset plus skill set plus action equals result. So there are either reasons or results.
Yep.
So, it goes back to always do my best. Don't make assumptions, because like you said, it's my movie is completely, most often, different than others. But by making assumptions, I make all kinds of endless or it's meaningless energies spent going in the wrong direction and not really accomplishing anything. So if you keep your mindset and your skill sets and do something about it, then you've got action to proceed.
Yep. Yep. Awesome. Yeah, that's my coaching formula. I'm always, you know, when I'm coaching someone, I'm looking at, you know, where does the adjustment need it? I'm constantly scanning, you know, and looking for, and in myself, you know, is the mindset what's causing the issue here, or is it just a lack of a skill set, or is it that there's just not, the action's not being taken? And you know, it's like an algebra equation. You work on that side, then the other side, the results also increases. And so, yeah, That's powerful. Thank you, Frank. Thank you for doing that. And Frank, I encourage you, get the downloads and listen over and over. I guarantee you it'll be a new experience every single time. So that's why we're making that available. And you know, I do this really at just covering my cost of hosting it and getting someone doing the technology of it, just so that it can just be out there for people to get this freedom. So awesome. Anyone else? Some insights that you've gotten from the four agreements so far?
Well, Brenda, this is Candace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's interesting is that this was always going on around me, but now that I've been listening to this, I'm so much more aware of not only what I'm doing or what I'm saying or how I'm positioning my words, but also what's been going on around me. And it makes me curious and makes me a much better coach. But even if we know these things, putting it into consistent practice is a whole different skill set. And I had some drama hit me last week, and I didn't recognize until almost 9:30 that I had missed your call. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's, I love my call, and just a allowing those things to kind of hit.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's going unconscious at
yeah.
the wrong time and missing things in your life. And so it was a great lesson for me to say, oh, okay, be vigilant all the time.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. And I truly believe that, you know, that's why I start with Romans 12, the way that we're transformed, the way transformation happens of what scripture calls going from glory to glory is by this renewing of the mind. And this renewing is happening by awareness. So you really said that well. The more that you become aware, the more you become conscious. And, you know, you hear the coined term, you know, rising in levels of consciousness, but it's just about awareness. And it's not until we even become aware, we're just asleep. We're literally just kind of going through life unconscious. And so this is really, this study is so much about just paying attention and paying attention to our own thoughts. And just, you know, life really is becoming the way that you believe it to be. And so, you know, being willing to look at that and to change, just allows so much growth and stops these energy leaks and all of this suffering. So beautiful. Thank you. Just being aware, just increasing awareness, not being asleep. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, let's talk about then today, let's talk about the fifth agreement. And this one's very interesting. It's called Be Skeptical and Learn to Listen. It's like just another kind of addition, the fifth agreement, to take these to another level. Be skeptical and learn to listen. And this is going to sound funny at first, but I'm going to give a bunch of examples and it'll start to make more sense. He says, don't believe yourself or anybody else. And you're like, what? Don't believe myself or anybody else. He says, use the power of doubt. I've always been taught that doubt is like your enemy, you know, fear, doubt, and worry. But this is a way to take what you would think is your enemy and use it to exactly what I think Candace was just talking about, to increase our awareness. And so this idea of don't believe yourself or anyone else, use the power of doubt to question everything you hear. And the question is it really the truth? Is it really the truth? Now, I go back and forth between this book and I've been talking about Byron Katie, because she's got what I believe four of the most powerful questions, and I use it in my coaching all the time, because we literally get ourselves convinced, okay? We make these assumptions, we take things personally, we get ourselves worked into a thinking pattern that we actually convince ourselves, believe ourselves to be true, that is not truth. So this whole idea, this is going to, if you haven't thought about this before, this is going to kind of rock your world today. But if you have, then you just already know and you've begun experiencing this. But the fact of the matter is we lie to ourselves all the time. We lie. We lie to ourselves. And you go, I'm not a liar. Yeah, you are. As you begin to do this, you'll see what I'm talking about. We lie to others. Like, I don't lie. You know, I pride myself in being a super honest person and trying to walk in integrity. The fact of the matter is, because of this movie that goes in our head, and we play this movie until it becomes our reality, and we believe it to be the truth, capital T, as opposed to the virtual truth, little t, of what we've convinced ourselves of, and we don't know how to distinguish between the two unless we become conscious. Separating between the truth, capital Chi, it's true for all people, all times. It never changes, as opposed to my truth, little t, of what I've convinced myself. Are you following what I'm saying? Because this is a tricky one. But Byron Katie has this series of four questions, and you ask yourself all the time these questions, and it's so powerful. And the first question is it true? And, you know, they teach you in marriage counseling and things, one of the first things that people do that you can just begin to see the lie is always and never statements, right? He always blah, 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 blah. She always blah, 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 blah. And if you ask this question, is it true? Well, right away, you've already seen that it's not true. It's a gross exaggeration. Nobody does anything always. Do you follow me? And so you ask that question and almost be comical. You're saying he or she always. Do you mean like always? Is there ever a moment that this isn't happening? And all of a sudden you begin to realize the exaggeration and the non-truth. Or he never, she never, really. Never, ever, ever, ever. You've never, ever seen this. And the fact of the matter, this is an example of how we believe our own stuff. And so we begin to ask questions. Is it true? And then just in case you're still kind of wavering, you can ask it again. Can you absolutely know it's true? And you can do this with your words. You can do it with others' words. You can do what you're believing about others' words. And then the beauty of just being conscious of all of this is you now take it into feelings, because that's your feelings and your beliefs are you know, what's creating your health, your life, what you're manifesting, everything. So now you ask yourself the question, how do you react or what happens when you believe that thought? And what you'll find is it's not positive. So, you know, he never blah, 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 blah. How do you react? What happens when you believe that thought? Well, I get angry. I get frustrated. I get hurt. I get disappointed. There's all these low frequency vibrations that happen when we believe that thought. And so now part of getting set free is the question, well, who would you be without that thought? Who would you be without that thought? And so what begins to happen is we can stop defending. We can stop justifying. I've had people, we had actually in the last workshop that I did, one woman said, I know I have, you know, wrong thinking about money, but I just keep justifying that it's okay to think that. And what I like to do is take the word justify and change it to the word defend. And so I just literally, what you do, you put things in the light. And when you do, they lose their power. When they're all up in your head, they have all this power. When they're in the darkness and they're not analyzed, that's why I say think about your thinking. When you don't think about it, it has all this power to just exhaust you and drain you and take you all kinds of places. So when you put it in the light, and so, you know, asking, is it true, puts it in the light, first of all, because 90% of the time when people just look at it, they go, well, no, I guess it's not true. Okay, so you're justifying something that's not true. And tell me, when you justify this thing, when you hold this thought and you nurse it along and you live it, what's going on in you? What does that create in you? What feelings, what's happening? And you find out it's creating all these negative things. I've never heard people say, oh, wow, it just fills me with joy and peace. Because when you're not walking in truth, there's no joy and there's no peace. There's energy leaks, there's drain, there's emotional drama, there's trauma, there's fear, there's all this stuff, okay? And it's not positive. So you kind of put it in the light and you go, okay, wait a minute, I'm believing something and I'm holding on and I'm living by something that is not true, capital T, and it's causing negative repercussions. And we're defending it. We're justifying it. Why? And so you get to the place of, well, what would you be if you didn't have that thought? Well, I'd probably be happier. I'd have more peace. I'd have more freedom. I'd have more joy. And so then you really have to get to the place of decision. You get to use your power of choice. Scripture talks about choose you this day. You get to choose your thoughts. That's why Scripture talks about what to fix your mind on. It's why it talks about taking every thought captive. You get to choose your thoughts. You are the captain of your soul that way. You get to choose. So now we've brought to the light that what your thought is, that it's not based on truth. So we don't need to defend it and justify it anymore because it's not true. And we've brought to the light that it's not producing something positive in your life. It's causing you stress and sickness and, you know, all this drama, trauma, whatever. So we've come to that conclusion. And what would you be if you released that thought, if you decided not to choose that thought? And you'd be like freer, happier, have more peace, have more joy. Okay. So then it comes to choice. Are you willing? Are you willing to release that thought? And usually when it's brought to the light, people are willing and they can drop that thought. And now they can move to a thought that better serves us. We've been following lies and all it does is doesn't serve us. And so when we begin to look at these things this way, we just get a whole new level of freedom. And here's what else that I think is a lie that we're holding on to. You've been taught to fight yourself. You've been taught that you are your enemy. And Jesus talked about a house divided can never survive. And we're going to give you some examples of this scripturally. So you've been taught that your mind is your enemy. No, it's not your enemy. It's time to love your mind, love your thoughts. So you stop fighting, you stop resisting, because that's a whole nother form of drama as you're constantly fighting yourself. Okay, you've got this war going on inside. Instead, if you love your thoughts and say, what is that teaching me? How was it serving me, but it's not serving me anymore? You can walk in a new level of grace and a new level of freedom. So this whole idea that we're going to talk about today in the fifth agreement is stop believing everything that you're thinking. Stop believing even what people are saying. Begin to ask these questions. Is it even true? Is it even true? And I want to go to John 8. John 8, verses 31 to 33. John 8, 31 to 33. Would someone read that? John 8, 31 to 33. Anybody have your phone or your scripture in front of you? John 8, 31 to 33.
All right.
Okay.
John 8, 31, 33.
31, 32, 33.
To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?
Okay, thank you, Frank. So you see here that he's trying to talk to them and explain, you will know the truth, and it's a capital T, and the truth will set you free. The more that you can separate between the two types of truth, the virtual truth, when I say the virtual truth, the truth in your head, the movie that you're creating that you believed, that was your truth for that moment. But as soon as you get a little deeper revelation, you'll find out that there's a capital T truth. In other words, right here, he's talking to them and they were saying, look, you know what? I've never been in bondage to anything. They did not know the capital T that yes, they were. They were in bondage to some religious traditions. They were in bondage to fear. And you'll see that very quickly in some of the examples that happen right after this. They actually seek to kill him. They're in bondage to rage. There's all kinds of bondage, but they couldn't even see that because they were in their own virtual truth that said, their little t truth that said, you know what? We got it covered. Because we're the sons of Abraham, we got it covered. We don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. Like an alcoholic, their little t truth is, I don't have a problem. I got this under control. Until they come to a capital T, no, you don't. We need to put this in the light. No, you don't have this under control. This is destroying your family, your finances, your life. You're deceived. You're believing a lie. And in John chapter 14, we see that Jesus, that he said, it's so good that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. In order to get capital T truth, you're going to need the spirit of capital T truth. And in John 14, verses 16 on, he says, I'm going to ask the Father who's going to give you another comforter. And the word in there is just very rich. It's comforter, it's counselor, it's helper, it's intercessor, it's advocate, it's strengthener, it's standby. That he's going to remain with you forever. And verse 17, the spirit of truth. And it says that that you are going to have him live in you constantly. And he'll be with you. And he talks about it again in John chapter 16. And he talks about it, verse 13, he says, but when he, the spirit of truth, the truth, capital T, giving spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, capital T. So this truth is progressive. You're going to get guided into it. You're going to go from glory to glory. You're going to think you understood one thing. And then the spirit's going to reveal something else. And sometimes, you know, what we were taught from the pulpit, our religious traditions kept us from seeing the capital T truth. Sometimes our family kept us from seeing it. Sometimes our fears kept us from seeing it. Sometimes we didn't want to see it, kept us from this. In Matthew 11, verses 5 to 7, offense or taking things personally keeps us from seeing the capital T truth. And when they asked about Jesus, and he said, well, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. This is what's going on. The dead are raised, the poor have good news. This is what's going on. And Jesus says in verse 6, blessed, and the Amplified says happy, fortunate, to be envied is he who takes no offense. Blessed is the one. You want to be blessed, you want to live the blessed life. Blessed is the one that doesn't take things personally. That person is blessed who doesn't take offense. And he says, who doesn't take offense at me and finds no cause for stumbling in and through me. And then here it is, the Amplified says, is not hindered from seeing the truth. Capital T. Capital T. You see, offense keeps us from seeing the capital T truth. If you guys could push mute on your phones if you're not talking. I'm getting a lot of your background noise as you move around and do things. Please push mute on your phone or push star 6 so that background noise doesn't get on the recording. Thank you. So offense keeps us from seeing the capital T truth. Religious tradition keeps us from seeing the capital T truth. We see that in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, it says that those who belonged to him heard it and they went out to take Jesus by force. They went to go arrest him. They went to go get him because their religious traditions kept them from seeing that truth was right there. Infinite wisdom and infinite truth was right there in their midst. And they were saying to themselves, here's the self-talk. They were saying, Mark 3, 31 or 21, Mark 3, 21, they kept saying to themselves, he's out of his mind. He's deranged. You see, they couldn't see the capital T truth. They said he's deranged. And the scribes, the religious leaders, came down from Jerusalem. They said, he's possessed by Beelzebub and by the help of the prince of demons. He's casting out demons because he's the head of demons. That was their little T truth. That's what they believed about Jesus. And he tells them a parable to try to get them to see big T truth. He says to them, how can Satan drive out Satan? You see, he starts asking, is it true? Is what you just said true? You just said that I'm driven by the prince of the demons. And so he applies this principle that Byron Katie teaches. He asks, is it true? And he does that by asking a question. He's learning to not make assumptions, not take personal, and he's going to help them to look at this carefully. And he says to them a question, how can Satan drive out Satan? How can Satan, if I am coming from Beelzebub, the prince of demons, and that's how I'm doing my work, and you're ready to throw me off a cliff, I'm going to ask you a question. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided and rebelling itself against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Let me say that about your life. If you're attacking yourself, if your mind is attacking your mind, rather than loving yourself, loving your thoughts, understanding they're your teachers and allowing them to gently come into the light and gently be released, lovingly ask what they're teaching you. If you're a house split and you're fighting against yourself, this is why people wanting to release weight, or if you've listened to our teaching, waste, they'll always say, I've been struggling, I've been fighting against my weight, I've been fighting against, and that's the first clue right there. You're fighting against yourself, and as long as you're fighting against yourself, you're not going to get victory. It cannot be done this way. And so he says, if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to last. So we see that religious tradition, we see taking offense keeps us from seeing the truth. This is why we lie to ourselves. Fear keeps us from telling the truth. Of course, we see the story of Peter, and they hear his accent, and they know he's been with Jesus. And they hear his accent and they say, oh, you're one of his disciples. You've been with him. And in Mark 14:71, he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the man. Well, fear caused him. Sometimes fear causes us to believe not the truth. And we become convinced of it ourselves. We believe our own movie because we're afraid. And so we live. This fear governs us. And we're believing a lie. And we're not sorting through. And David really understood this. You see it all the way through the Psalms. David in Psalms 12 says, help, Lord, exclamation point. I'm reading from the Amplified. Help. He says, faithfulness and the faithful vanish from amongst the sons of men. He says to his neighbor, each one speaks words without worth or truth. Flattering lips, a double heart, deceitfully they speak with boasting. And so he's just talking about, man, there's no truth out there anymore. Advertising, you know, is the king of all of that, of course. In Psalms 15, he asks the question, Lord, who's going to dwell in your tabernacle? Who's going to dwell in your holy hill? Who's going to be in your presence? Who is it? And he answers his own question in verse 2. It says, he who speaks and thinks the truth in his heart. And so he gets real with himself, desiring to make sure that he is eliminating all of these lies from his own life. And so in Psalms 51, it's this whole discourse between him and God, and him saying, God, you desire truth in the inner being. Make me, therefore, to know wisdom in my innermost heart. You know, Lord, help me to see truth. He's praying. And, of course, back then, those of you that heard any of my health teaching, you know that that I am a strong believer of essential oils as one way to break through some of this, some of these lies, some of these conscious blocks. Sometimes we've just gotten this movie is stuck and it's just in continuous rewind, play, and we just can't seem to break it with our own thinking. And essential oils go, you know, straight to your limbic system, and they allow you to get a breakthrough just by smelling them. And that's why we developed the Prosper oil as a way that can start breaking some of this down and allow us to get spiritually connected. And so I encourage you, as you're wanting to get this breakthrough, to begin to breathe in these oils. And of course, that's what David's doing right here. He says, purify me with hyssop. You'll see the oils used for this type of breakthrough and spiritual breakthrough. You'll see frankincense, you'll see myrrh, you'll see hyssop. You'll see these ways of becoming clean and of walking in a whole new level of reality, a whole level of higher consciousness. And so this is the way that we can begin to get breakthrough and begin to walk through it. Because otherwise, if you hold on to it too long, fear will then translate into paranoia, or it'll translate into rage. When you see an anger outburst, that's a form of fear. And it's come from this little T truth has become such a reality. This movie has become so vivid. It's been played over so much. It turns into rage. You see this in Mark 3. So it began by saying, you know, this guy's the prince of demons. This guy is, you know, bad news. This guy is blah, 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 blah. And in Mark 3, verse 28 and 29, they hearing him teaching, it says, when they heard these things, all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage. Now, if you read his words, you're like, man, what in those words would trigger rage? Well, everything they had held to, all their traditions, all their belief systems, everything right now was under scrutiny. Their little T truth, when you go to challenge your little T truth, I got news for you. It can be frightening. It's going to take tremendous courage to break out of your little T truth. I can give you some examples in my own life. Here's a little T truth that was put on me that kept me in fear and bondage. I was told that as a divorced woman, I would never be able to minister. I would never be able to, that Prosper in All Things would not survive. I would not be able to move forward powerfully and effectively. And I actually believe that. It kept me in an unhealthy situation, emotionally unhealthy situation, for years, because that fear kept me paralyzed. So when you go to attack that fear, it's going to take courage to step. Courage, of course, when you look at Hawkins' frequencies of emotions, courage is at the 200 level. This is the breakthrough level. Everything above 200 is strengthening. Strengthening in your body, strengthening in your mind. Everything below that is weakening. These little T truths that we're holding on to, that are fear-based and not love-based, are weakening your body, they're weakening your health, they're weakening your life, they're weakening your courage. And so what we see here is when they heard these things, they were filled with rage. And it says, rising up, they pushed and drove him out of town. They took hold of them. They actually led him to the upper part of the hill that their town was built on, and they were going to throw him over the cliff. That's how serious this deception was. They're believing their little T. They were going to take infinite wisdom, infinite truth, Jesus, the way, the life, the truth, and they were going to throw him over a cliff. Do you see how this can really mess with us? They have so strong a fear, it became rage, and they're ready to take truth that's standing in their midst, that had the potential to heal them and change them and give them peace and give them joy, and they're ready to throw it over the cliff. I wonder what truth is coming in your life and you've been ready to throw it over the cliff. It's angered you. You didn't want to face it because it took too much courage and you were too afraid. What truth's being brought into your life that you still don't want to let go of because your traditions have kept you comfortable? It's what you've always known. You still have little baby Jesus in a manger. You're not willing to see the resurrected truth. You're not rather to, it's much more comfortable to just keep singing to the little baby Jesus You keep him on a cross. You just still keep going there, and you don't ever get the victory because you're still just keeping him on the cross. I got news for you. He's not on the cross. Are you still stuck there? He's not. How is the little T keeping you in prison today? The little T that you've been holding on to and building your whole life around. The little T that's keeping you in unhealthy situations. The little T that's making you physically sick, emotionally sick. I'd like to make a pause point here. Is this hitting any of you? Are you getting any revelation as we're talking about this? I'd love to hear from you. Are you all there? Did I get disconnected? I need to hear from some of you. Is anybody there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're here.
Oh, okay, good. It was so silent. I thought, oh no, we got disconnected. I've been talking to myself.
Yeah. Now, it's kind of a fire up on that number five. Is it true? Back to the other one. So it's a deeper question than one of the four original agreements. but it's different.
Yeah.
Makes me think.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah, before we get our token and nod and build our whole life around this thing, you know, before we get a spiritual wedgie, we need to stop and ask this question, is this even true? And can I absolutely know it's true? If it's not true and it's creating negative results, why the heck am I defending this? Why am I putting so much emotional energy into this when it's not even true? That's wild, isn't it, Frank?
Yes, it is. And that's like you say, though, it can get scary learning what the real truth is.
Yeah.
Because it's uncomfortable. It's a challenge to the old drilled-in thought pattern or comfort level, or it's just easier not to deal with because it's an automatic reaction.
Yeah.
As opposed to actually facing the fact that it may take other skill sets to get past that.
Yeah.
Which would be a breakthrough, which would make everything easier, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you know, I've personally experienced, I'm still experiencing this. You know, I've experienced it in my spiritual life. I got, you know, introduced to faith, you know, when I was young in high school, coming from a very, you know, agnostic atheist, you know, kind of family where I didn't know, you know, anything. So I just believed everything that was taught from me, you know, and so I got started in a very, you know, strong denomination that believed that they were the only church and the only way. And so even within Christianity that follows the same Jesus Christ, you see all this division between churches, all of them thinking they have the truth. And if you're not part of that church, you're going to hell. If you don't worship on a certain day, or you don't eat certain foods, or you don't. And so there's all this fear. And so when I went to leave that, because I began to see that perhaps that was more dogma than truth, there was this fear in me, like, wow, you know, I'm walking away from this church that was the only thing I knew. And you know, maybe I'm going to be just really lost. I just always felt like my relationship with God was so close to a cliff that, like, if I messed up, I mean, I'm going off that cliff. I'm going to burn in hell. I'm lost. I'm done. So I remember the growth that came from that. And then I remember the experience I had with the Holy Spirit, because then I just began going kind of a non-denominational type church. But I was still taught that people who walked in the miraculous and the supernatural, that kind of like Jesus got accused, they were demonic. If you saw people healing, if you saw people doing the miracles, you were supposed to run the other direction. And God started bringing these people into my life, and they were simple carpenters, they were simple, you know, construction worker people that were just walking and putting their fingers in front of me, you know, putting their fingers in people's ears, and hearing was coming back, and the lame were walking, and all these miracles were happening. And so on one side, I've been taught I'm supposed to be scared and run the other direction. And on the other side, I'm seeing this. And I remember having an encounter with the Holy Spirit when he took me to 1 Corinthians, right from the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, about the gifts of the Spirit. And I remember reading it and literally having this conversation with God. That's not what I was taught, because I just believed everything from the pulpit. I didn't follow this fifth agreement to question everything in that sense. I just took it face value. And I said, that's not what I was taught. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying, but what does it say? And this is where, you know, the Holy Spirit's role is guiding into all truth. This is where the Holy Spirit's role of guiding us into all truth. And so I, you know, asked this question, well, that's not what I was taught. And the Holy Spirit said, well, what does it say? And I said, well, but that's not what I was taught. And the Holy Spirit said, but what does it say? And I made a decision right there. I want this. I desire this. This is a higher level truth than I was experiencing. I want to experience the supernatural. I want my life to be filled with not just religious dogma, but supernatural. Well, that changed my life forever. And I became hungry for the spiritual gifts. And I used to say, Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. I want what that person's got. And you know what? God was gracious. And I began to walk in the prophetic and have dreams and visions and be able to pray for people and have them be healed. It's the access to all believers. And here I was cut off from the very power of God because I had been taught a little T truth and I'd been holding it all this time. And so I experienced again yet another breakthrough. And then I had to experience a real look in my personal life when I was staying in a situation in my family that was not emotionally healthy and not allowing me to be everything that God had made me to be. And I had to have enormous courage to break through all opposition and break through the fear of man was probably the biggest for me. And I had to break through another, you know, little T truth and have the capital T truth set me free. So I can tell you that we do go from glory to glory if we're willing, and that the Holy Spirit does guide us into all truth. And it does take courage, and it does take a willingness to really be willing to ask these hard questions, to think about your thinking, and to ask these questions, to be skeptical of your own thinking. And to be willing to say, man, is this true? And is it serving me? We're holding on to thoughts that are no longer serving us. Is it serving me? I'd love to have a pause point here and just have you guys just jump in. I really would love to hear from you here as we kind of wrap up this session about is it true? And the fifth agreement. I'd love to hear from you guys.
Brenda, I've got a mind-numbing thought. You know, we basically have all the answers in the same book, and the more I get into it, the more I'm amazed of my little T-truths of for how long we've all been going through the same stuff over and over through all these organizations and churches and following people that we thought knew, but myself never really digging into the word, because it's right there. It's the same book that I was carrying around when I was a kid. It's the same book everybody else has. And just like you were saying, the truths of what you learned to where now what you're reading and understanding are completely different. And it's in the same book that we never really read or never understood or only heard what we were taught and thought because we went through that, you know, once a week, I'm a Christian or I'm a churchgoer. I know it all, but not knowing the word that was always, it's been printed forever. What is my problem of the comprehension of this love letter from God? And there's so many interpretations. That just, it amazes me more and more every time.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And I'll tell you, it's particularly becoming true right now. I will say most Christians don't know their own faith. They do not know their own faith. They don't know the Bible. And the sermons that are preached right now are very market driven. I hate to say that. I love the church. I love the body of Christ, but I'm telling you, much of it is very market driven. They're 20 minutes, how to be happy sermons, in and out burger sermons, you know, three fast songs, one slow song, 20 minutes in and out burger, and go home. And I feel good. I did my duty. I went to church and now I'm going to go do what I was going to do this weekend. A whole lot of people. It's not all. There's some churches that really just dig in and dig in and really teach the truth. So nothing that I'm saying is, you know, just across the board. Everybody's is different. But when I talk to a huge number of Christians, they don't even know what the Bible says. They do not know the history of Christianity or their church. A lot of times I have to sit and give a history lesson. They couldn't tell you the difference between a Protestant and a Catholic and where that evolved. They could not tell you where their denomination came from. They just somehow got born into it or got passed on. They could not tell you what are the distinguishing tenets of it. So there really is just a whole lot of just grabbing a hold of, you know, tradition. And Jesus did say that, you know, that your traditions make null and void the word of God. And that's what you're talking about. We saw it right there in scripture in Jesus's time with the leading scholars of the word. He said, your traditions make null and void the word of God. We just are not getting to a place where we're truly asking consistently, even of our religious beliefs that we're holding on to, is it true? Capital T. And I believe that this is something I wrote down recently in my journal that God just gave me. And this will take the fear out of for a lot of you, I believe. Some of you get real threatened if someone starts, like, you know, questioning your faith, or they start questioning blah blah blah. And you get real scared. And that's because you're not so sure of it and you don't want it taken away from you because it's your security blanket. And I see that. And I subject myself to a lot of different teachings, and many people probably couldn't handle that, and many people will say I'm deceived by doing that, and, you know, I get all that stuff too, you know. I've had magic fairy dust put on me, and I can't see the truth, and I get, you know, people saying that about me, and that's all cool and everything. But here's what I know, is that whatever's real, whatever's true can never be taken from you. And that gives you a tremendous amount of, if it's true, capital T, it doesn't matter what I do. In other words, if it's true that the world is round, if that is true, I don't care how many theories I sit and listen to and what I do, that truth will never be taken. It will always be capital T truth. If Jesus is really the Messiah, if he is the Son of God, that capital T truth can never be taken from you. So stop being so afraid. Be willing to ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you, because some of your little T's are keeping you from knowing the big T. That's what was true when the big T, Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm infinite wisdom, infinite truth standing in your midst. You're calling me the devil. You're about to throw me over a cliff. You can't even recognize capital T, the way, the truth, the life. You can't even recognize it when it's standing right in front of you because you're so bound up in your little T truths. Do you see that? It was right there at Jesus' time. They were missing what he was trying to teach. And they would create this movie in their head. He was sitting in the boat with them and he said, watch out for the leaven of the, of the Pharisees. And they get in this whole movie in their head. Oh no, he's mad at us because we didn't bring enough bread with us. And they go in this whole thing. And he's not even talking about bread. And he finally has to call them out of their little T truth and say, what the heck? Did you forget that I multiplied the bread and fed 5,000? Why are you talking about bread again? Do you not get what I'm trying to talk to you about? I'm trying to talk about spiritual leavening, little T's that get in your life that are holding you in bondage. Little T's like, I'm the son of Abraham. I don't have to worry about anything else. Little T's. You know, do you follow me? These little T's are keeping us in bondage. And that's why when we analyze our little T's, the question is, first of all, is it true? And second of all, how do you feel when you hold on to that thought? And third of all, what would you be without that thought? And to me, I'm learning to think about my thinking and letting go of those thoughts that just no longer serve me. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. But now that I'm a man, it's time to put aside childish things. He talked about, man, you're still drinking milk. You're a grown man. You need to be on spiritual meat. You need to be moving forward and truly making a difference and having advanced thinking. And you're still looking for the nipple and sucking on baby formula. You're still trying to go and hear a 20-minute how to be happy and let someone teach you the word. And you're not even getting into the meat to find out what is big T truth and what little T's have I been holding on to. Do you see how powerful this is? Anyone else? We've got a couple minutes before we wrap up the top of the hour here. Anybody else?
This is Tanya. I'm speechless with my mouth wide open in regards to the fifth agreement. I've been under, and I'm not currently under, the teaching where they talked about the truth will set you free, but it was more about man-made truth. So people search for their truth instead of the truth. Mm. And so when you realize, as I'm reflecting back on my life, like how many relationships I ended or avoided based off my truth, and how I walked away from relationships because I thought they were unhealthy because of the current truth, but it wasn't the truth.
Mm.
And knowing that no matter what is going on in your life, it's your truth, your version of it, but it can change tomorrow. And so knowing that, it changes the way that I see and perceive people, knowing that our truth is temporary. It's our truth based off what we believe, what we accept. And at any given time, it can change. But yet, I valued it so much in the past as making it the truth and not realizing it had a little T and not a big T. And really understanding about the Holy Spirit, the truth, and the capital T, and the difference. And that the Word of God, it will make you free. It will allow you not to be in bondage. It will bring awareness to things that you haven't been aware of, and you'll have so much freedom because, as you stated, this can't be taken away from us when it's the truth with the capital T. So thank you so much.
Wow, LaTanya, thank you so much. I'm going to put you on the spot, and you can say no, okay? But I think I recall that you came out of a cult. Is that not the case?
That's true.
Would you be willing to share? Because that's a classic example. Could you just share a little of that experience and what you learned from it? I mean, because I think that's why you're speaking with so much passion right here, right now. And I think it could really possibly save someone and many someones from a lot of pain to really get this. Would you be willing to share a little bit?
Yes. So it's important that we realize what the Word of God says versus what man says. And a lot of churches have created their own bylaws, their own laws and regulations, and it's their truth. And as you begin to follow the truth with a small T, you walk away from the Word of God. And it happens so gradually that you really don't understand what's going on. And by the time you understand and come to yourself, you're so far in it, you don't even understand what happened. So it's nothing that happens like real quickly. It's very small. And so because I began to believe their truth, which is with a smaller T, I walked away from the truth. And as a result of it, I was hurt thinking it had something to do with God. It had nothing to do with God. And so I made a commitment then that I would never obey man at the price of disobeying God. And doing that means that whatever God speaks to me to do, that I do it whether they accept it, whether they agree it, because I trust God more than I trust man. So just be mindful the difference between a man-made law, regulation versus the Word of God.
Thank you for sharing that, LaTanya. Thank you. I'm going to add another twist that just Spirit kind of dropped on me right now as we're talking. Here's another version of this, by the way, and that is the Word of God versus circumstances, or the Word of God versus your spiritual senses versus your natural senses. Okay. Because that's another case where you're going to have to choose which truth, capital T or little t. In other words, your finances may be that there's no money in your bank account right now. And that's your little T truth. And it's, I mean, it's there. It's a reality. I'm not saying that, you know, you're not overdrawn in your bank account or whatever. I'm not saying to be stupid. But the big T truth is that your job is not your source. The job you just lost is not your source. Your business is not your source. Your spouse is not your source. The courts are not your source. The government is not your source. Obama is not your source. The truth, the capital T truth, scripture says, God is your source. And sometimes I will get very distinct words from God. Very often I get a lot of prophetic downloads, and I will write them down and I'll pray into them and I'll compare them with scripture to make sure that I'm staying grounded. But I'll be real clear that I've gotten a prophetic word, and man or circumstances will tell me something opposite of what I know to be true at this point, you know, prophetically or whatever. And God will literally ask me, are you going to believe God or man? Are you going to believe your circumstances, or are you going to believe God? So there's, it's another version of, again, just really asking with each thing, is it true? And continuously asking the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, to guide us into all truth. So that would be another example where you make your circumstances the Lord and the Master more than the capital T truth of God, your source, your provider, your truth. Anybody else? This is such a rich study. Let's wrap it up with some great comments. Even if each of you only give a sentence over, we've got about 2 minutes here to the top of the hour. I would love to hear from anybody else, please.
This is Susan.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first time on this call. And
welcome, by the way. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I've had a lot of negativity and a lot of negative thoughts. And this has been a huge turning point for me. I've known about the four agreements. I haven't read them. I grew up in the church, listening to the word. When I found out about the meeting at Concordia and the way the Bible was assembled, I really lost my faith in what was being taught in the churches, and I've been in turmoil for a lot of years. But this has really spoken to me.
Thank you, Susan. I'm so glad you're on the call. And just, Susan, you know what? In the name of Jesus, I just bless you with a peace that passes all understanding, that all of that past wounding and all of that, that it'll just be released and left in the past, and that you'll step into a brand new walk of just really discovering His peace and His joy and His design for your life. So thank you for being, and thank you for being willing to share that, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that relate to you. And so thank you for being willing to share that. And Susan, I really encourage you. This has been the most powerful series I believe I've done so far, and I love every series. But go to bit.ly/BBSE. That stands for Bible-Based Spiritual Equipping, BBSE-4A. That's for four agreements. So bit.ly/BBSE-4A. And you will see, beginning with the very first series all the way through, you'll be able to listen to each one of these agreements as we've gone through them in depth biblically. It's very freeing, very powerful. You can type in the promo.
Could you repeat that one more time?
BIT, like horses bit, bit.ly/BBSE. That stands for Bible-Based Spiritual Equipping, BBSE-4A. That stands for four agreements. The whole series is there for you to download and listen to. And if you type in the promo code FREE4A, you can get the first one free. free, F-R-E-E-4-A. So that will give you the first one free, and then you can just pick up and download each one of these, because, Susan, I really believe there's a message in there that will truly set you free as you step forward. Thank you again. How did you hear about us?
Candace.
Oh, great.
Invited me.
Awesome. Candace, thank you for sharing. Thank you for reaching out, Candace. And I'm going to be down in your area, September 6th, I'm going to be down in your area for, Brain Leads of Women of the Bible. So I hope to get to meet you personally. Anybody else? We are at the top of the hour, but I don't want to neglect anyone being able to share. I think this has been so rich. Anyone else? Any closing thoughts as we wrap this up?
Thank you, Miss Brenda, for rocking my world again.
Thank you, Frank, for being on the call.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Have a blessed week.
You too. Anybody else? Just say a closing thought as you say goodbye, and then we'll wrap it up. All right. Well, that concludes this call. It's been my honor, my privilege to share this with you. May you be blessed as you think about your thinking and you take every thought captive. As your mind is renewed, it brings that transformation. I just pray that this week you just step into whole new levels of love, peace, and joy, and His presence and His Spirit guiding you. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you this time next week.